Thank you. with the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you made us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer. We may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Read responsibly from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Those who dwell in the land of the deep darkness, on them the light shone.
For us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God,
Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end.
On the throne of David and over his kingdom.
To establish it.
Zeal, the Lord of hosts, will do this. Starting at the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." The angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And the angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that is happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem, Judea, for so it is written by the prophets, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship." After listening to the king, they went on their way. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I found myself thinking about memory and habit and ritual. over this Advent season, a season where many of those things have gone missing. Memory, partly because my typically good one is starting to slip a little. I find myself carrying index cards around to scribble down stuff that I need to remember, or immediately putting the info into my phone. Also, memory, because one of the things that we try to do in catechism class is memorize Luther's portion of it. It's highly memorable, because Luther uses the same phrases over and over again. And the Ten Commandments, we should fear and love God so that we don't do X, but we do Y. In the Lord's Prayer, X, like the kingdom of God, surely comes down without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it would come to us also. But nobody memorizes things anymore. So it's a slog. Either we think that we got it, and we don't. Not really. Or that we can just look it up. Which might be true, but what happens if we forget what we are supposed to look up? The same thing that happens when I lose one of my index cards these days. Something that shouldn't be forgotten is. I can't help but think at times that we are collectively a people that have lost our index cards to really important things we can't quite recall. Something that we have collectively forgotten is that habit and ritual, our memory hacks, things that we don't want to forget, things that can't be forgotten. It's those things that we set about making a habit or developing a ritual about. Ask any good athlete. What looks like an inspired, in-the-flow move is probably something that he or she has been practicing over and over for years to the point that it's muscle memory. Like the old question, what's the difference between an amateur and a professional? The amateur practices until they get it right. Professional practices until they can't get it wrong. And this is where the athlete and the musician overlap. And I was thinking about these things this year, 2020, an annus horribilis, if there ever was one, this year. It's where lots of rituals happen. Memories have been changed or lost or let go. The positive side is that maybe some of them needed to be let go. Maybe we had lots of bad habits that have changed. But on the whole, I tend to think for the worse. Virtuous habits, because they are hard, have been let go to lighten the load this year. Rituals that remind us, yes, that is the truth. Or yes, I need to take care of that, have fallen into disuse. Easy habits start. Easy habits that promise we are being virtuous, but are no such thing. Now, things like the law. We don't often have to construct habits and rituals for it, because the law has a natural way of reminding us. Touch a hot stove and you get burned. Forget to make a payment and you will pay a penalty. Those don't always make us remember. Sometimes we break the law on purpose. We are all sinners, after all. But just the way that the world works will usually remind us that we've trespassed. Punishment of sin is having to live with it and its effects. The gospel isn't like the law. Reflecting on the gospel story in our texts tonight, it needs repeated ritual announcements. The gospel needs these, first off, because grace is foreign to us. We naturally get an eye for an eye. But I have good news. Your debt is forgiven. It's not something that happens too often. We think that it's spam that we delete daily. It's real. It takes some repetition to sink in. And that's the second point about why the gospel needs repetition. Sometimes that seed just falls on hard ground. We're just not willing to receive it. Sometimes the proclamation gets drowned out by the cares of life. We forget it. Sometimes we are made to forget it. Not just the normal cares of life, but remembering the gospel becomes personally costly. It's much easier, at least for this life, to intentionally let it go. There had only been one announcement, I doubt the gospel would still be present. What the texts of Christmas remind us, bring back to our memories again, is that God is superabundant with his grace. He spreads the seed of the word everywhere. He announces it again and again. The ultra-traditional lessons and carols would have started in Genesis 3, the story of the first sin, but also of the first announcement. I will put enmity between you, the snake or Satan, and the woman. Between your offspring, sinners, and her offspring, Christ. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God is already in the garden announcing. And the genealogy that Luke records of Jesus at the start declares him the son of Adam, the promised offspring of Eve, long in coming. The second lesson would have had Abraham at the binding of Isaac. Because Abraham trusted God, in his seed would all nations be blessed. And the genealogy that Matthew declares, Jesus is the son of Abraham, the seed long promised, the one in whom all nations find blessing. And God's announcements continue through Isaiah as the representative of the prophets. To us, a child is born. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God repeats his promises and proclaims the coming kingdom, which shall have no end. The angel sent to Mary to proclaim, "The time has now come. Promised child, the heir of David, is yours, Mary." And maybe for the first time, that message sinks deeply in. This daughter of Eve, who will carry her offspring, says, "Let it be to me according to your word." And from that one person, the announcements multiply and go out. The angel goes to Joseph and tells him not to be afraid of the child and Mary. And Joseph takes Mary and child according to God's announcement. The angels go to the shepherds. "Fear not, We bring you good news of great joy for all people. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the shepherds say to one another, let's go see this thing that has been announced to us. And they found it, just as they were told. God's announcement is trustworthy. And God doesn't even leave out those who are far away. Those astrologers, the magi, sitting in Babylon. It's doubtful they would have known what to do with an angel. A star? They took messages from stars all the time. God condescended to give them one. To announce the good news in a way that they understood. They too went and found the child and worshiped. People who were far off have been brought near. Finally, the evangelist John tells the eternal story. This word, this good news, has always been there. And this good news has entered into our darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. The light continues to shine night. This same proclamation that spoke the world into being is now brought to you. Not all of you will receive it. Not all of you will find this light meaningful. Not all of you will keep God's repeated proclamation in your hearts. To those who do receive it, believe in his name, you are the children of God. You have seen the glory of God. Proclaimed from the start, seen by prophets from afar, believed by Mary, you have seen, they have seen, the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Night is the great and mighty wonder, the full and holy cure. Night, your eternal debts are forgiven. The peace of God rests with you. Tomorrow, all idols will perish and Satan's lying cease. And that peace that rests in your hearts tonight shall then become that endless peace. That's the word. That's the eternal, repeated proclamation of the good news. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Light shines. We should try and remember it. We don't want our lampstand taken from us. Maybe we should have a ritual. Let's rise.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Christmas. Oh, thank you. Oh, there we go. And you can turn those on. You can shoot.